Warning. The program you're about to hear is absolutely filthy and thoroughly disgusting. Furthermore, listening to it will immediately turn you into a bottom.
Listen, when it's messy, it's a problem for everyone in the room.
Correct.
All 10 of them.
I'm proud to declare the Ed and Sank Show and his ass open to the wind.
Ass open to the wind.
This is fuckery. This is all fuckery. Fuckery.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now,
give a warm round of applause to my friend and yours, Adam Sank.
Just another day in the studio. Yes, we finally got that sound on the board. I can use it at any time. Hey, how are my levels, JB? We're using the Derek and Romaine audio settings because I'm tired of this podcast being too quiet. I want to blow your fucking eardrums away. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We're back live. If you're listening live at 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday, September 24th, 2022, at dnrstudios.com or the DNR Cast app, which is the only place to hear this podcast live, and throughout the week that it first airs, a happy Rosh Hashanah to my Jewish listeners, my fellow Hebrews. Leave us your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. It's been well over a month since you've left us one. Fuckers. Email me at admin@adamsank.com. Call and talk to us live on the ass hotline or leave us a voicemail anytime you want. 804-TALK-ASS. That's 804-TALK-ASS. Like the Facebook page. Get your ass merch at adamsank.com. Get vaccinated and boosted. We stand with Ukraine. And once again, I have to say Ukraine has been kicking ass. Russian men are fleeing Russia so they don't have to serve in Putin's hideous illegal war. And it's exciting to see the bad guys losing. And I don't just mean Donald Trump. Hey, today on the show, we have really someone that I loved having on the show last time. And for some reason, it's been 4 years. But his name is Matthew Rettenmund. He has a wonderful blog called Boy Culture that's always very kind to the ass. But the reason we're having him on is because he just updated a book that he first wrote in 1995. It is the Encyclopedia Madonica, everything you could ever possibly want to know about Madonna is in this book. It is 674 pages, including like 200 new pages that he just added. So we'll be talking to Matthew Rettenmund later in the hour. But first, it's time to welcome my co-host, my pal, my friend, everyone's favorite chubby chorizo, Mr. Steve Cesaro.
Hello, everybody.
Steve.
It's so nice to be here.
Oh,
God, my audience hates me today. Jesus.
I know. They were a little withholding. Well, it's lovely to see you. We spent a lot of time together earlier in the week, which we will discuss in a moment. But first, I want to acknowledge and welcome our producer, the Queen of Fuckery, Ms. J.B. Bursey. She's busy right now. Are we okay? Is there any reason to panic right now?
No.
Okay. All right, JB is working on something technical. So, can you play the Into the Woods bumper, Steve? Because I want to talk about the fact that Steve and I went into the woods together.
How exciting!
Into the woods, into the woods, into the woods, into the woods, and hope it goes dark.
Yes, so we had an adventure. Last Wednesday, we drove with Steve's friend James to Steve's home, his actual home up in Dutchess County, New York.
We did.
Which is a castle. It is a mansion. It is a palace. It's really a huge house. I got to meet his two dogs, one of whom is incontinent, the other of whom is hyperactive and eats everything in sight.
However, I didn't know, but she was about to go through her first cycle, so it makes sense.
Yes, she just entered menses.
Yes, she is. She is a woman, a full-blown woman.
Girl, you're a woman.
And she is leaving little drops of blood in two rooms we allow her in. Once I realized what was going on, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not ready to be a father.
These dogs are
a lot
of work.
That doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't. But unless you gave birth to your dog.
I did not.
But anyway, the next morning we woke up bright and early. We drove up to the woods, which are very far from Dutchess County in Lehighton, Pennsylvania. This is the LGBTQ campground known as the Woods that Steve is a denizen of and has been for years. And many of my friends have been going to this place for years. And I have to say, it is not my cup of tea.
So, Adam, tell me, what did you think Shade. It was? And what did you realize it was not?
Well, first let me say, I had a lovely time with you. You and I don't think, had one bad moment together. You were a wonderful host.
Oh my God,
it was great spending time with you off the show, which we don't normally get to do. Oh. And your camper is lovely. And you know, people were like, oh, you're going to be rough in it. It's not rough in it.
No.
Steve's camper, the camper that he and his husband own, is like a motel room, like a really nice motel room with a bathroom and a shower and a kitchen and very comfy beds. And, you know, that's not roughing it at all. And then the woods itself has these multiple public restroom areas with perfectly nice toilet stalls and showers that have great water pressure and hot water. This is not roughing it.
No.
My problem was, if you say to me it's a gay members-only campground in the middle of nowhere that's clothing optional, that would lead me to believe that there's a lot of sexual freedom. And in fact, there's almost no sexual freedom at this place. The only place you're allowed to have sex is in your own camper.
Well, you're allowed to have sex as long as it can't be out in the open.
So nowhere, basically, except behind closed doors. And to me, that's a mistake. I feel like if I'm going to spend money and time and just the time in fucking getting there, I want to be able to have sex anywhere. I mean, that's the joy of being a gay man and going to gay male spaces. And I get that this isn't just male, but it's predominantly male.
Yes.
And the one sex area, this place called Triangle Field, which sounds to me like a lesbian cruising ground, if you ask me. Who wants a triangle? You have to hike for like an hour, literally an hour, to get there. And it doesn't get started till 2 a.m. No. Fuck you.
You can go there during the day, which I said, you know, because I'm working, if you want to go for a walk. And it's definitely very cruisy during the day.
I want to be able to suck dick in the dance club. I want to be able to suck dick.
Oh yeah, no, you get kicked
in
out.
The bathroom, by the pool, everywhere.
No, you definitely get kicked out. You can't be that.
And then on top of that, like, the crowd is just not my crowd, and some of Steve's friends I found rather trying. Steve's criteria for being friends with someone is that they want to be friends with Steve. That's it. That's all you have to do. You have no screening process with your friends.
My screening process is, are you nice? Great. Yeah. That's it.
I don't even think some of them were nice. They were a lot. But the good news is, while Steve and I were there, we created our acceptance video for the podcast awards. If we win, that's a big if. Mm-hmm. We still don't know. September 30th is when they announce the awards. But if we do win, I guarantee we have the most creative, most highly edited acceptance video this year or any year. And I will be posting that on all of my social media channels after September 30th, regardless of whether we win or not. Thank you.
I think it's so funny that whoever sees it is going to die. They're going to die laughing.
JB was laughing pretty hard when I showed him this morning. JB, I'm worried that you're so engrossed in something over there. Is everything okay? Just talk to me a little bit.
I have to say, I have to adjust levels for my mic too, because it's not leveled for our voices.
Okay.
Getting level for Derek and me.
So all right.
Just doing adjustments.
Well, I sound loud and clear to myself, and so does, and Steve sounds loud too. So hopefully that sounds good to the listeners. Anyway, couple quick things. We did not get any new reviews, as I mentioned, but we did get a lovely listener email from Gopher Daddy.
Hi, Gopher Daddy.
Gopher Daddy sent this email along with several pictures of his penis, for which I'm always grateful. And the email was, happy Tuesday to you. Checking in for three reasons. First, your show is amazing. You, Steve, and JB have one of the funniest and most informative shows in the podcast universe.
Thank you for naming me.
My nonstop laughter during my daily commute keeps my mind off the trip home through seven rings of construction hell. I'm guessing he lives in Pennsylvania. So thankful I found you and your show. Number two, as soon as I can upgrade from my ancient iPhone, which is not always cooperative, I will leave a 5-star review as well. I know ratings help promote the podcast. Yes, they do. Thank you. And third, I know you guys are always asking for guys to send dick pics, and it sounds like guys seldom do. And I know that daddy bears aren't everyone's type, but I am offering these photos as my way of saying thanks. Hope they aren't too offensive. Be well. Gopher Daddy.
Thanks, Gopher Daddy.
Thank you, Gopher Daddy.
And as a
And there's no such thing as an offensive dick pic, in my opinion. So.
And as a daddy lover, I appreciated them.
Exactly.
It was very nice. It was a beautiful...
Steve loves daddies and daddy bears, dick. And believe me, there were plenty of both at the Woods campground. Thank you. One other quick note. If you are a non-subscriber, if you don't pay for this shit, which is the vast majority of you, you may have noticed we now have commercials.
What?
Before every episode. Do not adjust your dial. That is on purpose. I signed up for this ad program through my syndicator where they just randomly play ads. I don't get to choose them, although I did say no political ads because I was afraid there'd be like an ad for Trump or something. Anyway, the first ad that I heard when I tried this out was for Plan B for women who don't use contraception and then they get pregnant. You can basically take this the next day and reverse the pregnancy. I don't know how it works, but it's really not our target audience. I'm not sure the algorithm is understanding who listens to us. We may have some women of childbearing age that listen, but I think they're few and far between. Pretty sure Gail is the only woman who listens to this podcast.
Your sister did. Not anymore.
Believe me, they don't listen anymore. By the way, I am speaking to my family again. I have unblocked my sister, Anna, on Instagram. However... My mother remains blocked. Thank you. Okay, so this past week, while we were in the woods, there was like nonstop coverage of the Queen's funeral. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was like the longest funeral ever. It went on for 10 days. That poor body got moved from castle to palace to church to, I mean, to Jesus Christ. But my favorite story about this was a bathhouse in London called the Pleasure Dome Spa. Why is this so far away from me? Hold on. The bathhouse. So what happened in Britain is almost everything shut down. And so this bathhouse had to decide whether or not it was going to close on the day of the Queen's funeral. They're a 24-hour spa. They don't even close on Christmas. So they announced that they would not be closing. However, as a sign of respect, they would not be playing any of their music or porno films on the video screens. Instead, they would be replacing the porn with live video of the Queen's funeral.
Can you imagine you're mid-thrust and then you see the coffin just kind of going down the streets with horse and carriage?
And that music, that sad music that horrible was playing the entire procession.
On repeat.
So this is what it said on their website. In accordance with government guidance and advice, Pleasure Dome Spa will remain open on Monday, September 19th. As a mark of respect to Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, no music will be played within the spa and no films will be shown. The cinema and the main screen will show live events around Her Late Majesty's funeral throughout the day. Guests at the venue are invited to join us in a toast to His Majesty King Charles III.
Drinks, that's how I toast.
Both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, including champagne, will be provided at the cost of the management of Pleasure Dome Spa for the loyal toast. So congratulations to the Pleasure Dome for staying open, keeping the gay sex going, and honoring the Queen.
Thank you so much.
And her final journey into the coffin.
I have to say, I woke up. My usual routine is to listen to Morning Joe while I'm in the shower. Mm-hmm. And it was the same song over and over and over. For like a half hour, the choir kept singing the same melody forever. I don't know, because I obviously couldn't say. I was just listening to it. But I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. And as all due respect to the Queen, I could not listen to that.
I had it on in the background as I was like eating breakfast and getting ready for my day. And I couldn't seem to turn it off, even though it was so goddamn boring. Nothing was happening. And as you said, it was just the same music being played and the same sort of banal commentary, like, and now we watch as the Queen's coffin passes the millions of Britons who are lined. They were all whispering, the news commentators, to be respectful.
You know what my favorite part of her funeral was?
Tell me.
Meghan Markle's ode or nod to Diana by wearing a very similar outfit.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
An outfit that Diana had worn
for a different funeral, I believe.
Well, I saw a hilarious meme on Twitter, which is that someone took Meghan Markle in that black dress and they created the Wicked logo out of it. You know, the
yes,
the Glenda, like the profile of Glenda, because it did kind of, it was giving Elphaba vibes a little bit. Anyway, I want to get to this next story because it has dominated my life for the past week. It is all I and my friends are talking about here in New York City. But a little bit of backup is necessary. Mm-hmm. So here in New York, we have a channel in our local cable package called New York One or Spectrum News. You have to, you know, pay for Spectrum Cable to get this. It's a 24-hour news channel that's hyper-local. It's only Manhattan and the other four New York City boroughs. And I don't get it anymore because I canceled my cable because it had gone up to $200 a month, which is usurious. But I did watch it for years, and my favorite part of New York One was the weatherman. This beautiful young Latin man named Eric Adame, who is not only so cute and charming, but also like a great weatherman. So this past week, he posted the following on his Instagram. I have recently been terminated from my job as the meteorologist at Spectrum News New York One. I am taking this opportunity to share my truth rather than let others control the narrative of my life. My psychiatrist calls my actions compulsive behavior. Others would call them reckless, stupid, or brazen. I'm not in a position to argue with any of these descriptions. Despite being a public figure and being on television in the biggest market in the country in front of millions of people 5 days a week for more than a decade and a half, I secretly appeared on an adult webcam website. On this site, I acted out my compulsive behaviors while at home by performing on camera for other men. It was 100% consensual on both our parts. I wasn't paid for this. And it was absurd of me to think I could keep this private. Nonetheless, my employer found out and I was suspended and then terminated. First and foremost, I unequivocally apologize to my employers at Spectrum, my coworkers, my audience, my family, and my friends for any embarrassment and humiliation I may have caused you. You expected and deserve better from me. It goes on and on and on. But he says...
Wait, I'm a little confused. Why is he apologizing? Like, he was doing this with his own private. Well, yep. Someone sent this to his boss. So why is he apologizing? Why is he fired?
Initially, JB, it's a good question. Initially, this looked like a terrible case of revenge porn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, this guy's, you know, having fun with other adults consensually on his webcam, and some shithead, you know, takes still photos or video and grabs them and sends them not only to Eric's employer, but also to his mother. And it looked like a classic case of revenge porn. And revenge porn is illegal in the state of New York. And the fact that they fired him rather than treating him like the victim of a crime, which is what he was outraging to me and to everyone else, you know, every other gay man that I know who heard this story.
This is fucked.
But then additional information started to come out, and a website called The Desk obtained a copy of the live video that Eric streamed over the adult website. It was Chatterbait, by the way, 3 days after Christmas. And during the chat, he gave out his personal phone number and his home address.
Yikes.
He encouraged anyone who may be watching to come by his house for an early morning sexual encounter. At one point, a viewer uses the chat feature to post Eric's full legal name, which is the same name he uses on the air, and Eric responded to the comment, "At this point, I'm pretty sure my first name, last name, address has all been fucking out there, and this pussy still hasn't been fucked."
Oh, my.
He also, during the chat, allegedly mentioned New York One and said he hoped his boss was watching and that his boss would be hot if his boss fucked him. Someone, one of his viewers asked him he said he would write anything on his body that his viewers wanted to see. And someone asked him to write Eric Adame, New York One slut, across his chest. And he did so. At one point he said, "Just being a fucking slut, giving people all my fucking info, name, address, trying to get fucking whored out by a bunch of dudes." So
I'm a little turned on.
Everyone's turned on.
I'll be right back.
I don't know. I still believe he shouldn't have been fired. Again, this is done on his private time with consenting adults. He didn't do anything wrong.
Go ahead, Steve.
I would argue because So a lot of these TV shows or TV channels have, what are they called?
Morals clause.
The morals clause. And I bet you New York One has a morals clause, and just by him writing New York One is probably like immediate termination that you can't, especially if they gave it to them or New York One has it. That's like immediate termination. You can't fight it, period. I mean, you're gone.
Listen, I love Eric, and I certainly don't think he deserved to lose his job over consensual sexual behavior with other adults. The problem is, it seems to me, from everything I've seen and read, that he had a fetish for being exposed. And when he describes compulsive behavior, I think that's what he's referring to.
Stranger danger.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, if I post something, if I post anything on my social media that gets back to my company and they say like, hey, we don't like this, like, I have to take it down immediately. And if I got fired over something I posted, like, that happens all the time. And I'm not a public person at my day job, you know, I think he was turned on. I mean, I'm just speculating, but I think he was probably turned on by the risk.
Oh, yeah.
And so that gets into a gray area where it's like, is it really revenge porn if you're like telling everyone to expose you?
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's some indication that this happened a long time ago. This happened, I think, like December 2021. And it wasn't until just last week that he was fired. So I think they were dealing with it for a while, and they probably sort of counseled him and said, like, this is what has to happen for you to keep the job. And I don't think he necessarily followed those conditions. I don't know. But it's a little bit trickier than simply revenge porn. And I almost wonder if the person who sent the pictures to New York One and Eric's mother wasn't trying to help him.
Real? Huh?
Maybe. Maybe they're just a total dick and they were trying to hurt him. But maybe they were like a friend who was like, this kid needs help. Because he's like going over the line. There's also some indication that he was using drugs on camera. I was going to say
that's a part of it. Sounds a little.
It sounds a little methy. But that's total speculation. I have no idea. Meanwhile, he's already been offered a job from someone else, but not necessarily a job he would take.
I'd offer him a job.
Well, me too. By the way, I saw a couple of the screenshots. Someone sent them to me, and he has a perfect hole.
My phone has not been ringing, Adam Sank. So why have you not? You know why?
Because I felt
phone.
Bad even looking at it. I definitely don't want to send it to anyone else. These were obtained illegally. I'm not going to be a perpetrator of a crime, but I will jerk off to them.
Well, we are currently fighting because.
Adam
just took down his pants. He pulled it out.
He was apparently offered $250,000 by an adult website called Cam Soda to be their first ever full-time naked weatherman.
What?
The vice president of Cam Soda wrote in a letter, you provide the weather just like you have for a decade and a half. and you would be able to give this weather report, quote, clothed, scantily clad, or entirely naked.
This is my dream job.
You want to tell? You want to do the weather naked for $250,000?
Well, not naked, more scantily clad, you know, in a nice skirt with some fishnets. But yeah, this is my dream job, to play naughty weather lady. Mm-hmm.
Cam Soda, if you're listening, JB Bursey would very much like to take you up on this offer.
Yes, I would.
I would like to call the weather JB and the Cakes.
Yes!
It's actually the name of your band.
I was going to say, that's a great
band. It needs to be something weather-related, though. Yeah.
It's raining cakes?
It's a raining cakes.
Hallelujah. It's
so anyway, I wish Eric all the best. I hope that he gets either rehired by New York One, because there's been tremendous outrage among New York's gay community who just see this as like an adult being punished for private sexual behavior.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
The problem is it does cross over into his public persona when he starts identifying himself on camera as, you know, New York One weatherman and mentioning his boss at New York. I mean, listen, I'd be fired for this same behavior. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And I'm not, I don't work on TV.
Too, what you call it?
The morals clause.
The moral clause. Yeah. I get that point, but.
I mean, JB, do you remember I showed you that joke of mine from 2008 that somebody posted to try to tar me as a racist?
Yes.
Like, I went to my boss when that happened, and I was like, listen, this is out there, and you need to know in case someone, you know, emails it to you. Like, and I was fully ready to be fired. for a joke that I told in 2008 that wasn't even racist, but the first part of the joke had been cut out, and so you didn't even know what the premise was. And
I feel like that needs to be taken into consideration. Yeah, there more morally clauses should be right. You shouldn't go out showing off your dick at everyone, but if you're doing stuff in your private time, totally off company hours, it shouldn't be your company's business.
But that's the morals clause. Like, that's you have to live your life representing the company.
Right. And the fact is, if a woman,
a livable life wage.
If a female reporter or weather person did this on a network, she would face the same thing. It's not. Oh, yeah. I don't think this is homophobia, but maybe it is.
I mean, okay, I didn't think of it as homophobia. I feel like it's just pressing on someone's private life. Like, I feel like whatever I do in my
except he made his private life public. That's the problem. In any case, we will keep you updated on this story. Needless to say, I have invited Eric Adame onto this podcast and into my bed. No response yet.
Can I have pictures?
I'm not sending you those. They're out there. You can find them yourself. I'm not going to spread revenge porn. It is morally wrong. However, I will receive it if anyone wants to send it to me. Anyway, okay, in other news, we talked a couple weeks ago about how Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats were going to push for a marriage equality bill to come to the Senate floor before the midterm elections so that they could get the Republicans on record either voting for or against marriage equality. This was in the wake of Clarence Thomas issuing that concurring opinion in the abortion decision in which he basically said, let's overturn everything. Let's overturn all progress of the last 50 years. And so this looked like it had momentum and like they were even maybe going to find 10 Republican senators willing to vote for it. Well, now Schumer has decided to hold off until after the elections. Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin, who is herself either a lesbian or bisexual, I can never remember.
She's a lesbian.
I think she is too. No. She's the lead champion of the bill, and she had predicted they would be able to get those 10 Republican votes needed to break the filibuster, but hopes dimmed in recent days as some Republicans raised concerns about whether the bill would protect the rights of religious institutions, business owners, and others who oppose same-sex marriage. They always go back to this bullshit. Mm-hmm. The same arguments that are made against same-sex marriage were once made against interracial marriage.
Yeah.
And by the way, this bill would also protect interracial marriage.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, this comes down to strategy. Schumer and the Democrats are betting that they can actually pass this after the election.
Yes.
So it's a question of, do we actually want this to become law, or do we want to use this as a wedge issue to get people to vote for Democrats instead of Republicans? And it's such a fucking gamble either way. And I think they decided it was more important to actually pass this than to use it as an issue in the elections. Because frankly, people, you know, Americans overwhelmingly do support marriage equality, 70%, but it doesn't inflame them the way the abortion issue does. I think they've decided that the abortion issue is what they're going to run on. So it's disappointing, but
here we are.
Here we are. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, has introduced a Don't Say Gay bill that is more extreme than Florida's. It's patterned after the Florida bill, but it goes even further. This is we can thank Republican State Representative Stephanie Borowitz. Her bill would stipulate that public and charter schools may not offer instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity to a student in kindergarten through fifth grade. The Florida law bans those things between kindergarten and third grade. Borowitz said ideally she would like the prohibition to go through 12th grade. Hideous bill has passed the Senate, but Pennsylvania's current governor, Tom Wolf, a Democrat, has promised to veto it. However, the Republican nominee for governor, this hideous piece of shit, Doug Mastriano, who's like a full QAnon, election-denying, Trump-supporting fuckface. And by the way, when Steve and I were in the woods driving back, we passed many a yard sign for Mastriano. We were in fucking Trump country. He supports it fully. Fascism is really happening.
Yeah.
And like, it's all going to come down to the midterms. I don't know if you guys listening understand how important it is that you get out and vote in these midterm elections. But if you don't get out and vote Democrat, like, that's it. That's the end of democracy.
I agree.
In lighter news, Rosie O'Donnell spilled a lot of really fun tea this past week.
She did.
She's been going around promoting her new Showtime series, American Gigolo, based on the Richard Gere movie. It's now a full series, and she plays like a lawyer, I think.
Got a little scratch in the back.
A little cum in my throat. Mm-hmm. So she's... I have a little Eric Adame in my throat. No, so she's been going around promoting this and giving interviews, and two things came up that were really interesting to me. First of all, she was asked about Anne Heche, the late Anne Heche, who died tragically after that horrible car accident. Mm-hmm. Apparently, about a year ago, Anne Heche was doing a podcast in which she claimed, this is what Anne Heche said on the show. Anne Heche says when she was on Rosie's show in the 90s, after Anne and Ellen had come out, but before Rosie had come out, Anne said, I was in my dressing room, I got a knock on the door, and Rosie comes in and sets herself down uncomfortably in front of me and basically states, let me get to the point. If you bring up the fact that you and Ellen are a couple, I will not promote you. We will erase this episode. If you bring her up, if you bring up gay love, if you bring up anything to do with the movement that you feel that you're a part of, you will not have your film promoted. And Rosie O'Donnell, this was brought to her attention after Anne Heche died, and she was like, this never happened.
Yeah.
She's like, first of all, if we ever had a guest that I was worried about what they might or might not say, we would have just taped the episode and edited out anything that bothered us. She's like, but this is Rosie talking. Rosie's like, but I asked my nephew, who's in charge of my archives, to go back and pull every episode that Anne Heche was ever on. She was on Rosie's show twice. The first time she didn't talk about Ellen. The second time they talked about Ellen extensively and their relationship. So she's like, it's not something I would ever do. And she's like, it breaks my heart that all these years she thought that, you know, she believed this, but that's not what happened. The other T is that Ellen and Rosie are not friends.
Shocking. I am shocked.
O'Donnell was talking to someone. And she was talking to Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live. And Andy's like, were you ever on Ellen's show? And Rosie said, no. Like, we had a little bit of a weird thing. After my show went off the air and hers was coming up on the air, Larry King was on with Ellen. And Larry King said, whatever happened to Rosie O'Donnell? And Ellen said, I don't know Rosie. We're not friends.
I don't know her.
Rosie says, and I was in bed with Kelly at the time, and I went, did I just hear that? Or was that like a hallucination, auditory voice? That's what happened, and it hurt my feelings like a baby, and I never really got over it.
Aww.
So there is some lesbian celebrity drama going on.
Lesbians are so harsh. I mean, I know gays are harsh, but lesbians, I feel like worse and meaner.
Yeah, don't ever piss a lesbian off.
No.
Well, they're still women, and women are naturally mean and vicious.
Oh, be careful there, JB.
I'm saying this because I live with my mother, who was naturally mean and vicious to her own child.
Well, that's so, one woman.
I mean, yes, but that is my experience, and that's the woman who I keep attracting towards, apparently. That's why I had to stop having friends.
Ooh, he is. Well, you see JB's face right now, he is burning up. He is angry. There is a feeling.
The views of JB do not reflect of the Adam Sanction.
They only reflect JB.
But I do think women fight dirty with their words.
Yes, they do.
More than men do. Men fight dirty with their fists.
And penis.
Not gay men, but real men.
No, I learned to fight dirty from my mama.
Macho men. women cut each other. And also lesbians do get physical, from what I understand. There is some physical violence that goes on in that community.
I love watching slapping fights. It's like my favorite thing.
Honey, they do not slap. They punch. But anyway, enough about that. The last thing I'll say before we talk to our wonderful guest is that a Dallas gay bar has introduced the Chick-fil-Gay sandwich. Shout out to Alexander's Bar in the Dallas neighborhood of Oak Lawn. This story, which was on LGBTQ Nation, said just in time for Pride. But Dallas's Pride is in June, so I don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, the Chick-fil-Gay is a response to Chick-fil-A's well-known anti-gay history.
It's represented by Eric Adame.
Thank you. This year for Pride, we decided to come out with our own sandwich so people can get their chicken fix and feel good about it. The chef poultry pileup starts with a chicken breast that's pickle brined and breaded with a secret recipe featuring loads of spicy pepper. Ew. The result is a panko textured filet with a slightly sweet taste, topped by two crinkle cut pickles on lightly toasted buns plus mayo. Hold the homophobia. So, congratulations to Alexandre's. It's Alexandre, Alexandre, or Alexandre, in Oakland for your Chick-fil-A sandwich.
How lovely.
And on that note, our guest today is a returning champion to the ass, although we haven't had him on the show since 2018. He is the editor of the Boy Culture blog, as well as the author of the Encyclopedia Madonica, which he has just updated for a brand new 2022 edition. So please give a warm ass welcome to Matthew Redmond. The applause is deafening. Hold on. Get your face right up to that microphone, Matthew. What are you saying?
I said, and my intro was Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
That was amazing topic.
Would you like to try the Chick-fil-A sandwich?
I could eat.
What do you make of the Arkadame thing? Let's ask you that quickly.
I was wondering if you're going to ask me all this stuff because it's like it's so hard listening to you talk about this and not chime in. It's amazing.
I know. I mean, you are the authoritative gay blogger.
I think I went through the same process you did as you were talking about it. You're immediately sympathetic, and then you realize, oh, he mentioned his boss.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more to the story, but I will say there are no one has clean hands because he shouldn't have done that.
Least of all,
he obviously has an issue, and. But the person who went out of their way to send the photos, I think that's really evil, especially to the mother.
Probably,
because
yeah.
There are other ways. If you really want to get help, there are ways. So I think that you were talking about viciousness and gays. I think that there's no one is more vicious than a gay stalker.
That yes. is true.
And that could be.
That is, I know that, from personal experience, gay stalkers are horrible. Okay, let's talk about Madonna. So this is your third update to the Encyclopedia Madonica. You first published it in 95.
Unbelievable, right?
You updated it in 2015. Why now does it need? Did it need another update?
I needed a little extra money. No. well,
it's a pricey book, by the way, but it's also huge. I couldn't even bring it to the studio with me today. It was too big.
I don't call it an encyclopedia for nothing. It's definitely kind of like if you remember what phone books used to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a phone book size. Well, I decided to do it basically because the last update was 2016. I'd gotten through the Rebel Heart kind of phase. And then I feel like I just turned around and 6 years happened. And I felt guilty when people are still buying it. It still sells. And I just feel guilty people buying something that's so out of date. So because I am an Uber fan and because I am obsessive in everything that I do, there's always that little itch in the back of your brain of like, I need to like update this list. Because basically it's a list in a way. So I started doing it toward the end of COVID. And I just couldn't stop. So I updated it all the way through September 1st of this year. So people wow. who are holding the book now, they have information that's from this month.
This thing is so exhaustive. Just to give you an example, the first entry in the encyclopedia is Paula Abdul. And Paula Abdul gets her own entry because she once said something about Madonna, right? Like that's your criteria. Everything.
Exactly. Well, because part of the book is supposed to be sort of like a dream for fans and that it covers her entire career extensively, mm-hmm. every single, every performance, everything career-oriented. It also covers gossip about her and things that are out in the media. So whether they're true or false, I cover them and I explain what I think about them, what she's had to say.
I mean, and Donald Trump gets his own entry.
Everyone. But then ultimately, it's also sort of a Warholian experiment. It's supposed to be something that's like, it's kind of ridiculous to have this because it is ridiculous that we know so much about any one person. Mm-hmm. And she's not the only one we know so much about. So that's why I love putting in absurd entries like that that are just so offbeat too. So you're reading something about Blind Ambition and then you're like, why is this person in here? Why is this object in here? Did this really happen? It's kind of like the first Google search before Google existed.
It is kind of like a printed Google search. And I have to ask how you do it because I feel like you could have a team of 20 people working round the clock for a year and not be able to put this together. How do you do this all yourself?
Well, when I first was starting to write the book decades ago, I actually put everything on index cards. I went through my archive and there was no research in the library and there was no Google. So I literally just went through every magazine I owned and every newspaper article, wrote it all down on index cards, typed it up. And then when I started doing the update, finally I have, you know, search engine to work with. And so what I would do is I would just after that initial update, I would just make a list of everything that happened day by day and keep it in just a simple Word doc. And then as I would go through the older entries, I would update them. And then anything new that happened, like Tokisha, will eventually have her own entry.
I mean, just so people understand, this thing is 674 pages, and they're big pages. It's magazine size.
It's crazy. I like to do everything big. I mean, like, I collect stuff, too, and everything is big.
Yeah. Okay, so what is it about Madonna? You're obviously, if not the biggest Madonna fan on earth, certainly in the top 10. What captivates you so much about her?
Well, I think there would be no interest if it wasn't the music. It has to start out with the music and her artistry. And then what kicked it up to the next level was the visual artistry, the fact that she was so creative and inventive with, you know, the visuals.
Everything.
And, of course, what endeared me to her early on was I'm from Michigan. She's from Michigan.
Mm.
And she's just this badass who was talking about things that at the time were very controversial. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking about queer stuff, talking about AIDS, even talking about feminism before she was admittedly a feminist. Now she's a feminist. I like the fact that she was outspoken because so many pop artists, especially back in the day, were very concerned about, you know, towing the line.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to alienate half of my audience. I don't want to alienate anyone. Whereas Madonna's approach, which I think is admirable, is, you know, fuck you. If I alienate you, good, I'm doing something right.
Right.
And that's a little nerve-wracking for me because I'm sort of a pleaser. So that's probably another thing that attracts me to her.
Yeah, I mean, she did always have real integrity about her. We'll talk in a little bit about whether or not she still does. We should mention the book is beautifully illustrated. There are incredible photos and artwork. The cover's gorgeous, and I understand you have a brand new cover for this one. You also, in this version, you have a lengthy interview with Madonna's publicist of 30 years, Liz Rosenberg.
Yes.
Why did Liz, who's famously press shy, agree to talk to you? And what is your relationship with Liz? And what is your relationship with Madonna? Because you seem to have met Madonna.
We're friends like that. Liz, I was always on my radar as a fan when I was in college, and I remember I met her backstage at a Blonde Ambition, and I saw her, and I said, "Are you Liz Rosenberg?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Can I have your autograph?" She said, "Me?
No."
Cut to me doing the book, and she was interested in what was happening with this is 95. She was interested to know what it was going to be, but she couldn't help because who knows what I was going to write. She loved the book. So over the years, she's just been very supportive, and she would get me into events because she realized, you know, she's now calls me the keeper of the flame. She realized that I'm a plus to have along, and I'm going to write something positive and I'm going to cover her well. As far as why she agreed, I honestly almost didn't even ask her because I thought she would just say no. She's very shy. Personally, she's very modest. And, of course, she doesn't want to betray confidences, so I thought she would just laugh me off. She was immediately said, "I'd be happy to tell you anything you want to know, and I'll be happy to let you put some of it in the book."
Oh, good.
So we had a great conversation, and I think she just, you know, because she's no longer her publicist, I think she felt like it would be appropriate as sort of like a recap.
And how many times have you actually met Madonna, and what have those experiences been like?
Three or four times. And I will say, people always say, don't meet your heroes. And I say, no guts, no glory. You have to meet them. Whether it's positive or negative, you got to do it. With Madonna, I met her on a press line, and then I was one of 11 gay journalists in a round table quizzing her about WE. That was amazing because she gave us all handshakes, very professional, very nice, very open. No picture. And I'm like, what's the point? She's done up to the hilt. She'll never look better than this day. And so shortly after that, she was doing a press event. And I asked Liz, I was like, you know, I've never had a picture with her. Is there any way? Because you're not going to get a picture with Madonna on the street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she said, sure. So she set it up. I was on the press line in between everyone. She got to me and said, okay, Madonna, you know, this is Matthew. Like Madonna knows me. And you're going to do a picture with him. And Madonna looked at me and said, not in that light. And I thought I was screwed. I thought, oh, great, I'm going to have a good, bad story.
Right.
And instead, she summoned me over onto the red carpet. I clambered over this transition, and I'm, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And I'll never look this good again. She'll never look this good again. She leans over and says, so what makes you so lucky? And it's a great picture. There's even a picture for making this expression. So
she
flirtatious.
Didn't know who you were.
I'm assuming not. It doesn't matter how many times she's seen me, I will always assume she's not going to remember.
Is she aware of the book? The
biographer. She signed it for me, the original. So I know she was at one point aware of it, but If you had her in here today and you asked her about it, I would not be surprised if she said, what's that?
I met her once backstage at that terrible play she did in London in 2001 where she plays an art dealer. Yes, thank you. I was my boyfriend at the time was very close with one of the co-stars in the play, Danny Pino, who went on to become a very successful actor. And we were hanging out in Danny's dressing room afterwards, and he was like, I'm not going to stop her. He said, but if I poke my head out and say hi, she may come in and meet you guys. And that's literally what happened. And she literally just like stopped at the door, and he said, hey, Em. He's like, these are my friends Adam and Philip from New York. And she goes, hi, Adam and Philip from New York. Did you like it? And I go, we loved it. And she goes, great, good night. And she kept walking out.
That's about as good as you're going to get. That's great.
It was exciting, believe me. One of the more curious characters in Madonna's life is her brother, Christopher. And I've always been kind of fascinated by him and by the fact that, you know, he was the closest person to her for so many years, personally and professionally. And then they had this massive estrangement. He writes this terrible tell-all book about her. And now they're apparently reconciled. What the hell's going on with Madonna and her brother?
Yeah, that's a strange case. Liz talked a little bit about Chris in the book, that he, you know, was always around, and you know, she loved him. He was beautiful. He was always kind of – he was a big part of her early career. I mean, he was there, and I think she relied
on him. Designed all the sets and
– yeah, he did designs. And then I think, like other people, you know, she moves on to other people creatively. And I don't think that was something that he was prepared to deal with. He assumed, well, I'm the brother.
Yeah.
I'm going to be around forever. Well, you're going to be around forever as the brother. You may not be directing every tour. So over time, there was just some bad blood. And I think what rubs me wrong about him that I'll say on the radio is he has such an antipathy for her that you wouldn't expect from someone who's your sibling, even if you have, like, you know, some fights. You would think that you would keep some things a little discreet. Like, he's made comments about her appearance, which seems kind of odd. He wrote a book about her. And I read the book, and he has a lot of mistakes in it, which is interesting. But he also tells us a lot of interesting information. But even though he doesn't say a lot of things about her that are really, like, horrendous. I mean, like, this is unforgivable. It actually makes it worse to me that it's so petty. It's like petty stuff, like she owed me $11,000, or you know, like that kind of stuff. It's very. It seems so deep and so personal. But she has said that they've made up. She's forgiven him. Maybe in her mind, she's forgiven him, and they've seen each other. But I don't know if you can ever really come back from that. I mean, she's excommunicated people as she should, who she works with, who've told tales out of school. So it must be really, it must be gutting to have your brother publish a book.
Yeah, I would think so. Madonna, she's taken a lot of knocks over the past few years. Many people, including former fans of hers, feel like she's sort of lost her sense of perspective, and that in trying to stay desperately relevant, she's sort of made herself look foolish. What do you say to those fans, as the keeper of the flame,
the keeper of the flame.
You are so well christened by Liz Rosenberg.
First, it has to be said that, you know, Madonna is not perfect. She's not always going. You can't not criticize her. I would never be someone who says, "No, I'm a stan. She's perfect. I love her. Queen, yes, queen." To every picture and every photo and every video. But also, I think it's important to remember that everyone changes. Artists change. No one is at the peak of their, you know, at the peak of their form forever. No painter, no singer, no artist. Most of them in her position settle into sort of a legacy artist. Nice, play nice.
Right.
They release, you know, greatest hits. They sing the same songs over and over. And they're very pleasant. And I admire the fact that Madonna is kind of legitimately sort of a punk downtown person. And she's never abandoned that. So she's still, whenever she does get to those places. Like Confessions Tour was sort of an era where everybody loved Madonna. Rebel Heart was actually sort of, you know, cozy. Then she gets to that point, and then she's like, I'm going to bleach my eyebrows and dye my hair pink and, you know, go date someone young and dance the night away. I like that because I think it is kind of, I think that that actually is proof that she has integrity, because she really doesn't care about messing with the stuff that she has built and the stuff that she's given us. And on the other hand, we have to remember, not only has Madonna changed so much, we're all aging. We're all changing. So something that hit
us—I certainly am.
Yeah, something that hit us a certain way when we were you know, 16, it's not going to hit us the same way now.
True.
And it's just so hard for, I think the old school Madonna fans and the new school Madonna fans fight all the time on social media once the old ones figure out how to use it. And they're always fighting because, like, the young ones love, you know, they actually like what she's doing, the ones who are her fans. Young people don't like what she's doing because she's old. And I think there's a lot of mixed-up feelings in her older fans, too, where a lot of us will criticize her for doing things for being old, and then you go and look at us, and we're old.
Right. I mean, you make a great point, and when I think about Madonna, because I also have always been a massive Madonna fan. I had, like, my room was covered in Madonna posters in high school and college. For me, peak Madonna is Blonde Ambition Tour and Truth or Dare, right? Like, that is my favorite iteration of Madonna.
It's hard to argue.
But I was also 21. So that was a really happy, exciting time in my life when I was probably the biggest consumer of pop culture that I'll ever be. You know, so the fact that I want Madonna to still be that Madonna is sort of irrational.
We want her to be that way 30 physically, years later. Mentally, creatively. And we also want the culture to be the same to where a Blonde Ambition can actually have that kind of an impact. And you know what? Things don't really have that impact anymore. Look at Lady Gaga. Just, you know, she did this big tour, Chromatica Ball. Yes, people went to it. We saw it all over the place.
Yeah.
It didn't change the culture. It didn't have like that earth-shattering effect. And it has nothing to do with any shortcomings of hers. It has to do with the fact that there's so many other things going on in the world, entertainment-wise, let alone news-wise, so that we're not all focused on the same things anymore. It used to be there was always one tour we're focused on, three shows we're watching on three networks. You know, like things are just so... Have just expanded so much. And I think Madonna's approach to that is to try to roll with it and to be chaotic and messy and do whatever comes to mind.
I will say, for those of you listening who may have not ever watched Truth or Dare, maybe you're too young to have like been aware of it. It's one of the greatest documentaries of all time. I love it. I still love it. It was instrumental in my deciding to come out as a gay man, and I think a lot of gay men of our generation had that same feeling about it. In the time remaining, Matthew, we're going to play everyone's favorite game, Ask Me No Questions.
Ask Me No Questions.
Ask Me No Questions.
Yeah. Now, these are all questions about Madonna.
Oh.
Your favorite Madonna song.
Wait, before – okay, good. It's not a quiz. This is good.
This is just personal preferences.
My favorite Madonna song today is going to be Into the Groove.
Oh, good. That's what I used for my Insta story promoting your appearance.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect pop song. I think she did it. She did it very thoughtlessly. She did it quickly when she was young, and it was just perfect.
Steve?
You're going to hate me. I'm not that big of a Madonna fan.
That's okay.
You must like some songs of hers. She's had so many different songs. Not Hung Up?
No.
Wow, okay.
All right, let's move on.
Vogue.
We'll go there you go.
I'm going to say, honestly, there's one for like one from every era. I think Ray of Light is a masterpiece. Mm. But I also love like her slow ballad. I think it's called One More Try.
Mm.
That kind of makes me cry. I love that song. Your favorite Madonna video?
There's so many ways to go with it, but I think it has to be Vogue.
Yes.
Because I just think it's so... of that moment, she really, everything was right about that. It was the perfect marriage of image and sound, and it was a way to communicate with all of us, like, yes, I like Hollywood icons too, and this is how I'm speaking to you. I just think it's beautiful.
I agree completely. Your favorite Madonna feature film?
Oh, it's not even close. Desperately Seeking Susan.
Yes. Another great recommendation for anyone who hasn't seen it.
As amazing as Madonna is, and she is perfect in the movie, it has nothing to do with her. I just love that movie. I have an interview with Susan Seidelman in the book, too. It is a flawless, funny...
It's a delightful movie and very much of its time. Like it's a perfect snapshot of the early 80s.
And I just want to point out, it was in the New York Times top 10 critically acclaimed films of that year. Yeah. And it won Roseanne Arquette a BAFTA.
Yep.
So it's not a guilty pleasure to play.
Terrific cast. Laurie Metcalf, who played Jackie on Roseanne.
Everyone is in it.
It's hilarious. And it's Stephen Wright. Rosanna Arquette, as you said. Okay, your favorite Madonna TV interview?
Nightline is the first one that comes to mind because she was being...
What year?
Well, it was 1989, right? 90. She was being hauled to the carpet for Express Yourself, and she arrived in full smart woman gear, and she was saying... She was talking about feminism and about like, what was going on in the video. And she said, yeah, well, I crawled under my own my own chair. It's like, yeah, okay, that's feminism. I love that. And also it was pointed out that she was going to make money off of Justify My Love as a video single. And she said, yeah, well, lucky me. I love that video. You have to watch it. It's really funny. That should be on TikTok circulating.
I'll have to watch that. Which of Madonna's men would you most like to fuck?
Not my boss. Let's see. I think...
Ooh, sorry, that's me.
Oh.
Go ahead, Matthew.
God, that's hard to say. She's had some good ones. She also had some really bad ones. Probably before he was kind of crazy, which he is now, Tony Ward...
Yeah, you said he's like a Trumper now.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy.
So but upsetting.
Her most like adorable would maybe be like, I love Carlos Leon.
I was going to, Carlos would get my vote.
I'd like her to marry him.
Lourdes' father.
Go back and marry him.
He was beautiful and seems like a sweet guy, yeah. Let's see. Is Lady Gaga nothing more than a Madonna wannabe?
Oh, no. I think that's, you know, I think Madonna fans get a little defensive whenever there's someone who's a threat, and that's always been the case. She's very different. In a lot of ways, I really hated that whole feud, and I hated how long it went on, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, it seems to be over.
Seems to be over.
I agree, by the way. I think Lady Gaga is a phenomenal artist.
She's very different.
I do think some of her songs are reminiscent of Madonna's.
There was
songs.
A period when she was definitely, and I think it would have none of this would have happened if during that period she'd said, "Of course, these are inspired by Madonna. Who wouldn't be inspired by Madonna?" Mm-hmm. We would have moved on.
Yeah.
I agree. This is something I've just been wondering for 30 years. Why in the movie Truth or Dare are they repeatedly joking about boots? What is
good
that?
Good question. I think it is. I think it's the real definition of an in joke.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, of course. Boots.
Boots. Boots. I'm like, what is that?
I think they were all very giddy on the road and just kind of repeating that over and over again.
What should be written on Madonna's tombstone when she passes away someday?
Probably fuck you.
You love the fact that she's a rebel.
Yeah, I do. I think it's unusual. There's a lot of people who are rebellious in our culture, but some of it is very commodified and not, doesn't feel authentic. And I do think that there are things she does that aren't very authentic that are kind of, you know, criticizable. But her rebelliousness seems to be at the genetic level.
How did you feel about the movie Evita?
Evita is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful movie. I thought it, more so, I think her performance was, her vocal performance was impeccable. I loved her approach to the music. I wasn't upset that she didn't get an Oscar nomination because, in my opinion, that's not really an Oscar role, even though it seems like it should be. I think it's, I just don't feel that the subject matter. I don't think the actual source material is that great.
It's
I know people love Evita. I think it has amazing songs and it's kind of fun and it's diva, but it's really about the music. It's more of a concert.
It is more of a concert. I loved the movie, but it's more of a 2-hour music video than a movie, and I think that's why she's good in it. Yeah. She's great in music videos. I will say, I agree with you. They really trained her voice for that movie, and her albums after that movie, she sounds so much better to me than the albums before the movie. The Encyclopedia Madonica is on sale wherever books are sold. Matthew Rettenman, tell the listeners how they can find you on all of your many channels.
Well, I mean, you can look for me on social media. It's very easy to find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram at Encyclopedia Madonica, where I can also tell you how to get an exclusive sort of a hardcover copy of the book directly from me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just look for me.
And all over the place. And you want to plug Boy Culture? Boyculture.com is a great blog that's been very kind to the Adam Sank Show. Thank you for all your coverage.
Well, you're so amazing. I mean, you told us that Sanjaya was bisexual.
I mean, I blew the lid off that story.
Look at you're doing a Sanjaya encyclopedia now.
I'm responsible for Sanjaya's comeback. By the way, Sanjaya posted a new video to Instagram where he and two other people are singing in beautiful harmony.
What?
So go check that out on his Instagram.
But he doesn't have slut written on his...
Okay. Not yet.
Okay.
That's what's coming next. Matthew Rettenman, thank you for joining us. As always, don't let another 4 years go by without coming on the Adam Sank Show. Steve and JB, plug yourselves.
I am Cub Mexi on Instagram and Steve Cesaro Medina on Facebook.
I am Stocking Anarchy 12 only on Instagram.
That's stocking, like ladies stocking, singular. Anarchy 12. That's JB's Instagram. Thank you both so much. We are back next week with another ass favorite, adult video star Eddie Danger. Ooh. I want to blow him. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to order your ass merch at adamsank.com. Follow me on Twitter and Insta at Adam Sank and on TikTok at Adam Sank Official. Email me your dick pics at adam@adamsank.com. Leave us a review, please. Yes.
someone
for once. Have a great week, bitches. Bye.
Bye.